Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to SRF Limited Q2 and H1 FY21 earnings conference call hosted by Ambit Capital. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Ritesh Gupta from Ambit Capital. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Hi everyone. Good afternoon. Today we have with us SRF Management, joined by Mr. Rahul Jain, President and Chief Financial Officer, SRF Limited, and Ms. Nitika Dhawan, Head of Corporate Communications, SRF Limited. I welcome both of them on the call. Rahul, would you want to start with the opening remarks?
I will start, Ritesh. But before I begin the call, I would just like to point out that some of the statements made in this call may be forward-looking, and a disclaimer to this effect has been included in the earnings presentation shared with you earlier. Thank you, guys, and I'll now start the call. Good afternoon, everyone, and I extend a warm welcome to you all, and thank you for joining us today on SRF's Q2 and H1 FY21 earnings conference call. I hope you, your team, and loved ones are safe and in good health. I will initiate the call by briefly taking you through the key operational highlights for the quarter under review, following which we will open the forum to have a detailed Q&A session. I am pleased to share that we have delivered a robust performance during the quarter, primarily driven by strong results reported in the specialty chemicals and the packaging films businesses. In Q2 FY21, gross operating revenue increased 21% quarter-on-quarter to 2,101 crore. EBITDA increased by 66% QoQ to rupees 592 crore, with EBITDA margins expanding to 28.2%. Profit after tax grew by 57% QoQ to 316 crore during the quarter under review. All of the above numbers are on a continuing basis, excluding the sale of engineering plastics business and the shutdown of technical textiles business in Thailand, which happened in Q2 FY20. Let me now take you through the segmental performance. During the quarter, the specialty chemicals business delivered a robust performance on account of healthy demand and higher volumes for most of our products, which led to better operating leverage playing out. We also witnessed improved traction for our products that cater to the fungicides and the herbicides categories of agrochemicals. Our consistent emphasis on cost reduction via process enhancement and optimum utilization of resources led to improved operational performance. During the quarter, we successfully launched one product each in the pharma and agro segments. An increasing product portfolio will further help us deepen engagement with our global customers. We are well placed in the Indian specialty chemicals industry with increasing opportunities. As we continue to deliver the benefits of more complex chemicals and specialty products to our global customers, we have undertaken new CapEx plans to expand and enhance our capacities. The Board of Directors approved an investment of rupees 17.5 crore for setting up of a dedicated facility to produce 200 MT per year of P16 specialty product at our Dahej facility in their meeting held yesterday. This is a key building block for some of our products that are witnessing demand expansion. Given the performance in H1 for the business, we believe that FY21 growth that we can now achieve would certainly be north of 25%. The fluorochemicals business, on the other hand, witnessed a subdued performance on a year-on-year basis owing to weak demand for refrigerants from the automobile and air conditioning segments. This was on account of slack demand due to softening in economic activity and low prices of refrigerants globally. However, on a sequential basis, there seems to be an uptick in the business, and going forward, we expect gradual recovery in demand for refrigerants, led by demand from OEMs across categories. Passenger vehicle production was low during the quarter and H1. However, which is expected to recover. This is expected to recover in the coming quarters. Similarly, demand for ACs is also projected to improve hereon. Most of you are aware that the Director General of Trade Remedies, DGTR, has initiated anti-dumping duty investigation on R32 and refrigerant gas plants, and recently there has been a ban on import of pre-charged air conditioners. Such trade measures should lead to better utilization of available Indian capacity in the short to medium term. I am also happy to inform you that we recently commenced commercial supplies of the proprietary R-467A to some of our customers in the Middle East. Over the years, SRF has emerged as a dominant player in this industry. We have made prudent investment in capacities, R&D, innovation and technology that has established us as one of the few fully backward integrated producers globally. With expanded capacity and an improving demand scenario, we are well positioned to further strengthen our leadership position in the industry and deliver a superior performance going forward. In addition to the above, the board approved two projects related to future water security and setup of thermal oxidation facility at our chemical complex in Dahej. We have integrated sustainability across all our operations and draw strength from the robust foundation that we have built over time. These projects will be implemented over a three-year period on a modular basis. The projects are aimed at minimizing the environmental impact of the chemicals business, thereby setting global benchmarks for our site and ensuring future sustainability. It is also important to note that these investments are ROI accretive, and we continue to introduce novel and cutting-edge technologies to the world with a strong emphasis on intellectual property creation and protection. We are on track to achieve our yearly growth targets and will continue to successfully leverage SRF's inherent R&D and innovation capabilities to develop long-term profitable businesses. Coming on to the packaging films business, the business performed exceedingly well during the quarter on account of healthy volumes and improved margins from BOPET and BOPP segment. The exports and domestic market in the BOPP and BOPET segment delivered steady contribution to the performance. As mentioned in the previous call, EBIT margins reduced on a quarter-on-quarter basis due to expanded capacities coming on board, but still remained healthy at 29.6%. We continue to focus on improving the inherent strength of the business, which includes cost leadership, expanding new product offerings through innovation, increasing contribution from value-added products, and enhancing our relationship with the end consumers. Our newly commissioned BOPET film line at Thailand also delivered a strong performance during the quarter, where it is now ramped up to almost 90% of its rated capacity over a very short tenure. The related resin plant in Thailand is also likely to be commissioned in the ensuing quarter. On the operational front, we also launched 4 new products in Q2 FY21. Our BOPET value-added product sales also increased when compared to CPLY by about 20%. I am glad to share that the board yesterday approved a capex of approximately Rs. 424 crore for setting up a second BOPP film line in Indore, which will be implemented over a period of next 20 months. With the COVID-19 pandemic emphasizing the importance of sanitation, we have seen a surge in hygienic packaging material requirements. Given our strong track record of successfully commissioning lines over the past few years at attractive payback, we are confident on an overall basis that we should be able to deliver healthy IRRs for this investment as well. Moving on to our technical textiles business segment. We witnessed an improved performance in the quarter under review. This was backed by faster than expected recovery in the domestic tire industry. Sales volume in the nylon tire cord fabric segment improved by about 25% compared to corresponding period last year. Following the unlock phases, the domestic tire industry began to rapidly recover and helped us gain strong momentum in the business. On the belting fabric front, the performance was in line with expectations as the value-added products aided higher growth in sales. In polyester yarn segment, the performance was impacted due to domestic slowdown and intense competition from Chinese players. However, we expect a robust demand for yarn in the geotextiles and seed belt segments in the coming few quarters. Lastly, in our other segment, coated fabrics delivered the best-ever results and continue to maintain its leadership position in the domestic market. The laminated fabric segment, we emerged as the market leader both in terms of volume and pricing. However, margins do remain under pressure owing to low demand and continuing oversupply situation. I am also pleased to share that recently, company successfully raised rupees 750 crore from institutional investors by way of a qualified institutional placement, and many marquee names participated in the issuance. We believe this is SRF's future growth capital. Going ahead, we plan to use these proceeds mainly for finding suitable organic growth opportunities over the next 12 to 18 months, where we believe that the capex intensity can be increased significantly given our current engagement with the customers. At this juncture, we believe it is important for us to diversify into newer, more complex chemistries beyond fluorination that would enable the company to be present across the entire value chain. As we think about our future growth opportunities, we are focused on harnessing our R&D capabilities and our world-class manufacturing facilities further to deliver products that compete with the best in the world, address some of the world's most pressing needs in agrochemical and the pharmaceutical sector. SRF continues to maintain liquidity through multiple means, money market activities, and debt management throughout the quarter as we achieved our strong balance sheet position. Effective liquidity initiatives have resulted in lower interest payments and lower overall net debt status by about 350 crores. Our balance sheet and P&L leverage parameters remain strong and are further aided by the recent capital raise. I am happy to share that our chemicals facility in Bhiwadi, Rajasthan has been recognized with the ICC Award for Excellence in Management of Health and Safety for 2019 by the Indian Chemical Council. We are proud of our team's consistent and substantial efforts towards making SRF a sustainable and safe organization for all stakeholders. Our diligent EHS team believes that all accidents are preventable and they strive to eliminate any such occurrences through effective site management and complete ownership. We continue to strengthen our community outreach programs. Our CSR arm, SRF Foundation, conducted its pilot program in academics through a blended mode of online and offline classes, reaching more than 12,000 students in 140 government schools across 7 states in the quarter. In conclusion, SRF has managed to address several external challenges during these unprecedented times on the back of our innovative technological advancements propelled by our strong R&D team. We aim to deliver a consistent performance and deliver value to all our stakeholders in the future with a strong system in place and unparalleled R&D capabilities. Furthermore, we continue to build a deeper relationship with all our customers and expand our global footprint as we shape an everlasting SRF brand going forward. On that note, I conclude my remarks and would be glad to discuss any questions, comments, or suggestions that you may have. I would now like to ask the moderator to open the line for the Q&A session. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Rohit Sinha from MK Global. Please go ahead.
Thank you for taking my question. Congratulations, sir, for a good set of numbers. Firstly, I would like to know on this RGS side, what is the utilization level in the RGS in the Q2 FY21, and have we reached the pre-COVID level or what could be the peak utilization level basically in RGS segment?
Rohit, we have not reached pre-COVID levels. Again, this is a kind of a business which is seasonal to a certain extent. Now, Q1 typically is the best season for the business, where because of the summer months, the demands are on the high. Again, Q1, we saw the burnout happening because of COVID. I can tell you that R32 capacity that we have is kind of, at the end of September, was kind of full. R134A, we are still looking take the capacity to full levels over a period of time. We believe as the domestic demand, kind of kicks in, we should see much larger numbers on that side also. On 125, which is the third HFC, we see the fact that, Rohit, if you could just mute yourself, there is just a lot of background noise. Yeah. So on 125, there are certain challenges on pricing, but you are, as I said, you are aware that for 32 and certain blends, the DGTR is looking to initiate anti-dumping. Anti-dumping is also being initiated by US and a couple of other countries against China. That should hold us in good stead.
Okay.
I hope that answers is good.
Yeah. So, secondly, on this packaging segment, if I'm not wrong, by FY21, we will be having close to 262,000 capacity in overall packaging segment. So what is the current utilization on these capacity and what would be the again peak revenue expectation from this?
So Rohit, I would say that as of now, other than the BOPP line, which is 60,000 tons, which is coming up in Thailand, all of the lines are today commissioned. Now, when I look at capacity utilization, other than for Hungary, which is still in, the position of ramping up and, some scope available in Thailand, all of the lines are currently operating fully. As I also said during the opening comment, we have now sanctioned a BOPP facility, which is another 60,000 tons, which comes up in, about 20-25 months.
And the position on capacity utilization. Yeah, and any ballpark number on the revenue side? I mean, what kind of...
I typically don't give you a comment on revenue numbers because revenues are also a function of the price of key raw material, and therefore it's not fair to give you revenue numbers in that sense.
Got it. And lastly, on specialty chemical, I just want to know it. We have close to 7-8% kind of revenue coming from the domestic market as well. So, is it from agri or pharma customer, or is a mix of both? And where we see this percentage share going forward? I mean, what kind of domestic demand is currently evolving in this specialty chemical?
So, Rohit, over a period of time, what we believe is that the business's focus will remain on exports. There are certain customers who are now looking to set up their agrochemical plants in the country. And to that extent, there will be some of these supplies that will go into the domestic market as well. But largely, I think the focus remains on exports, large innovators and large international customers. For the medium term, at least next 3 to 5 years, I don't see a significant shift in that sense.
Okay, got it. And anything, sir, on this QIP money deployment?
I said it in the opening remarks as well. Over a period of time, 12 to 18 months, we will see it mostly deployed into the specialty chemicals business. But it will take time. It is not a press of a button that can happen like that.
Thank you. Rohit, we would request you to please come back in the question queue for any follow-up questions, as we have several participants waiting for their turn. We would request the participants to please limit your questions to two per participant. The next question is from the line of Rohit Nagraj from Sunidhi Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. So last time I think we had indicated that the PTSE project has been delayed by 1 year, and then we are starting with the BOPP project. So anything on the PTSE, when is it going to start, or whether the dynamics are currently not in favor of this particular product? Thank you.
So Rohit, we had announced that there would be a delay in the PTSE project. As of now, we have not reviewed it again. In the next 3 to 6 months, we are scheduled to review this again. We will evaluate whether there is a need to bring that up on a faster basis and then come back to you. As of now, the delay is about 1 year, which is still what we had said earlier as well.
Okay, and the second question is on the BOP project, so the incremental CAPEX. So could you just give us a broader indication of how the demand is growing in domestic market, and how is it in the international market, and how is the demand supply scenario as of now? So if there is no overcapacity and we are predominantly focusing on the Indian market to cater from this particular facility. Thank you.
So the way we are looking at this is that even our BOPP capacity today is fully utilized, given on a product mix basis for BOPP. Now, we believe that the project will come up on stream in the next 20-24 months, so let's say 2 years from now. And once that happens, we do believe that about 40-50% of the capacity of this plant we can export, and the balance is meant for domestic market. Currently, in a 2 year time frame, we see a shortfall in the BOPP market given the current demand supply dynamics, and therefore we believe we should be able to sell the line fully in a short period of time.
Thank you, and best of luck.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ankit Kaur from Systematics. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi Rahul, thanks for the opportunity. So my question with regards to chemical division, in light of better product mix, even the utilization was better, you know, the OPM, do you think that OPM should have improved, you know, in chemical business? We are still in the 19-20 range. I assume, as you rightly mentioned, that refrigerant gas revenue and margins are a little subdued. So, you know, better product mix should have improved OPM. My first question is that. What is your sense? Is it just because of towards we have moved from kg to ton level at many places with many customers, or is just a product mix within spec chem?
So Rohit, I would say that there are two factors in this. Fact is that the revenues of the specialty chemical business were significantly subdued, as I had mentioned earlier also, both because of certain quantities and the prices of certain key refrigerants. Now, even that as a fact, I think that has become a slight drag on the margins. But again, we said this in the past as well. Even when, let's say, the specialty chemicals business was not doing very well, we've seen the fluorochemical business do very well. And again, these are business cycles that do play out. I would still say that a 50 basis points increase in operating margin is holds us in good stead, because as fluorochemicals ramps up in H2, we would see those numbers to be going better. I don't believe it is because of the tonnages and and larger quantities that you are referring to has had an impact of this. I do believe that the overall drag on the chemical business is slightly because of the fluorochemical business, but I don't see that happening for a very long time.
Okay, Rahul, I'm Ankit from Systematics. My next question with regards to availability of land at Dahej. For example, you said that 750 crore majority of will be utilized in spec chem. Do we really have enough land at Dahej for a brownfield, or we'll do greenfield as well in next 1-2 years? Any sense on this?
So Rohit, I would say that as of now, we believe for the next 3 to 5 years, the capex plans that we have, even the increased capex plans that we have enough ability to do this at the Dahej site. But given the fact that it takes a long time to look at land, get environmental clearances. We will certainly keep looking at opportunities. If there is a good-sized opportunity in and around Dahej or in any other place in PCPI, we may look at it. As of now, we don't believe land is a constraint, Rohit.
Okay. My last question with regards to, My last question with regards to BOPP in 16, October 16, probably, if my memory helps me, we have set up a BOPP of similar size, if I'm not wrong, of about 350-370 crore, the CAPEX. So this time around, the CAPEX is a pretty big number. So is it just inflation or a better machines, better product mix,
So Rohit, again, I don't remember your memory is better than mine for sure in terms of the cost of the line. But I can tell you that was a 45,000 ton line. This is a 60,000 ton line. That was an 8.7 meter line. This is a 10.6 meter line. The advantages of a much larger line, a much larger product mix something that will play out. So and obviously there will be some cost inflation in terms of the equipment also. But if you look at it from a rated basis, I think it will come out to be pretty similar quarter.
Okay. Coincidentally, PTFE capex and this capex number is same, 424 crores. But yeah.
No, we made sure that it will always remain same. No, I'm just joking. Yeah, I don't know.
No problem. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Siddharth Gadikar from Equirus. Please go ahead.
Hello. Yeah. Hi, sir. So just one thing on the pharma side in the specialty chemical, could you throw some light on what chemistries are we focusing there? And will we be focusing on any therapies also going ahead? Or how is the color in the pharma side in the specialty chemical business?
So again, Rohit, sorry, I didn't catch your name.
Siddharth.
Siddharth, again, I think the opportunity that we are today seeing in the agrochemical business is very significant. There are multiple chemistries that we are working on, not only fluorination, but bromination, iodinization. Fluorination is something that we have done very well, Grignard and others as well, right? But I don't see that as purely a pharmaceutical or an agrochemical place. What we are looking at is the overall play in the agrochemical sector seems to be something that we are looking at very significantly, and we believe that is an area that we can grow in. We will keep working with pharmaceutical majors as well for their new products, and therefore that overall piece should expand. But there is no specific chemistry that focuses on pharma or focuses on agro as such.
So, and in pharma, in terms of therapies, are we looking at any therapies, or we are open to all therapies currently?
There would be about 4 or 5. I may not be in a position to give you exact which ones, but yeah, there are let's say 4 or 5 types of therapies that we are looking at.
Okay, got it.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ankur Periwal from Axis Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. Congratulations for a good set of numbers. First question on the chemicals margin side. Now in this quarter, as you know, you alluded towards, you know, in your earlier comments as well, there were certain bit of, you know, cost cutting measures as well, apart from
Ankur, just a bit slow. I was not able to figure out the question. Could you just repeat, please?
Sure. So first thing on the chemical margin side, in your earlier comment, you know, in the call, you mentioned some cost-cutting measures taken as well, plus the favorable product mix, which has led to the EBIT margin expansion. Will it be fair to say that this will be a base case, you know, margin for us going ahead, given, you know, ref gas will further see utilization improvement as well as tech and gain scale as well?
So, Ankur, I would say it like this, that the business remains dynamic, right? So, while we do believe that from an overall perspective, there should be incremental numbers that should come through from a margin perspective as fluorochemicals ramps up, the next question that you ask me is in what quarter that will happen. That is something that I can't tell you. The only point that I would want to make is that given the fact that the overall, let's say, fluorochemical business during the quarter and H1 has been muted, as that ramps up, it will again play out the operating leverage story much better. Therefore, the EBIT margin should typically be on the expanding side.
Sure. So my question was more on the annual run rate side, but fair enough. I got your answer. Second thing here, on the balance sheet side, the working capital, especially the receivables, has slightly increased. Anything to, focus upon there or any specific segment which has seen some expansion?
Ankur, I would say the reason for increase is essentially business, right? Because when you look at it, the overall requirement of the large customers is a certain, let's say, number of days, or their DSOs are on the higher side. I would also say that typically my current liabilities would have increased to a certain extent in that sense as well. Now, given all of that scenario and given the fact that there were COVID-related issues that were going on, we have had to, accommodate certain things where in normal cases we may not have done that. I do believe if the impact of COVID is run down by the end of March, our working capital should come back to slightly more modest levels than what we are at today. Given that as a fact, I would still say that my net debt has come down because of significant cash flow generation.
Yeah, which is the case. Yeah. Fair enough. That answers my question. Thanks a lot, sir, and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Amar Maurya from AlfAccurate. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hello.
Okay. Hi, Amar.
Yeah, hi, Ravi. Thanks a lot for the opportunity. Sir, my question is on the packaging film. Sir, packaging film profitability on a sequential basis has improved significantly. Like any color, at least for medium term or a near term, how do we see this behaving in terms of the profitability?
So, Ankur, Amar, what I can tell you is that you've seen very large. So this has been an exceptional quarter. And I had probably said the same thing last quarter as well, right? The fact is that some of the new capacities have actually come up. And therefore, the overall margins in the business should be seeing a slight downtrend.
Okay.
At the exit of the year, I don't know where it will be. The only point that I will make is that there is the new resin plant that is coming up in Thailand, which should add to slight margins from an overall perspective from the international BOPET operation. The new BOPP line probably comes up in June, July next year. And the new BOPP that we are putting up in India probably in another 21. So given that as a scenario, I do believe that there will be tapering in margins. I can't give you an exact number as to where we will be. It could be in the range of, on the exit side, 3-5% from where we are today.
Okay. Got that. And sir, what would be the technical textile utilization in this particular quarter? And how do we expect it to ramp up? Because, it has been a surprise for us in this particular quarter.
Sorry, no ramp up happening there. It is already chock-a-block.
Okay. So meaning you are saying technical textile is at a peak utilization level?
I am saying at the exit of the quarter, yes.
Okay. Fair enough. Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Thank you, Amar.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Yogesh Patil from Ridhan Securities. Please go ahead.
Thanks for giving me an opportunity. Congratulations for good set of numbers, Rahul.
Thank you.
I have two questions. First question relates to your two projects related to future water security and setup of thermal oxidation facilities. Can you provide how much would be the project cost for both? And if you could throw some light on these projects, how these projects would be ROI accretive and how much ROI you are targeting from these projects? That is my first question.
I didn't catch your name, please.
Rohit. Yogesh.
Yogesh. Yogesh, if you could just be on mute, it will be easier for me because there is a lot of background noise. Yeah, thank you, Rohit. See, the point that we are trying to make here is that the overall cost of the project both put together is in the range of about 220 crores or so. But the project cost will be incurred over a 3-year period. Now, how they are likely to be ROI accretive is the fact that today when I need to be able to clean out my ETPs and clean out my, let's say, the residue from the chemical manufacturer has to be incinerated at a third party location. There is a certain cost of transportation of that. There is a certain cost of, there is a certain cost that I need to pay for it. Now, when we do a make or buy analysis or do this in-house, we believe that we can do it at a much lower cost. And because of which, the thermal oxidation plant obviously becomes a much clean ROI project in that sense. Because the cost of doing it outside versus cost of doing it in-house is pretty much in that nature when we have done our calculations. On the water side, the idea is to increase our water capacity over a 2 to 3 year period, where we should be in a position to meet the requirement for at least the next 5 to 7 years from a water perspective. Given the fact that there is shortage of water in Gujarat, at certain times the state wants to divert the water from industry to farmers. February, March, we see in many cases, we see the supply of water to industry being curtailed by the state. We believe that it has led to lower production in certain months from our perspective. And if we are able to secure the water, we should be in a position to actually keep our plants fully running. If that happens, obviously both become ROI accretive projects. I can't give you exact ROI numbers on it because that's not fair. But yeah, they remain ROI accretive is what I can tell you, Yogesh.
Is on the same line. Do you see the same kind of investment is needed for the other chemical facilities in future to minimize the environment impact?
What other chemical facilities? I only have the Dahej and Bhiwadi.
So in Bhiwadi,
we are not expanding, Yogesh. I don't see that happening.
Okay. Thanks a lot for clarity.
Thanks, Yogesh.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Surya Patra from Philip Capital India. Please go ahead.
Yeah, congratulations for the great set of numbers, sir.
Thank you, sir.
Yes, thanks, sir. So, a couple of questions. Let's say on the packaging film business, how should really one look at this business? See, I think having consistently delivered very strong set of margin performance and the kind of a steady expansion. So, how structural in terms of growth this business could be? And in terms of the increasing or improving product mix, with the way that we have added the Thailand facility and now even the similar kind of metallized BOPP filling that we are extending here in India. So, is it fair to now believe that this packaging film is as structural as chemical business and margin-wise it is, it can be slightly fluctuating in nature but could be progressing, expanding and could be remaining strong and no longer is a volatile business. That is how should one really look at this packaging business ever? Because it has now accounts a large chunk of our business and consistently been delivering strong.
So you have answered your question yourself.
But you have yourself.
So again, the point is that we've tried to make the business, let's say, cycle proof. But given the fact that there is large capacities that people come up with where let's say demand outgrows, let's say supply outgrows demand many times in certain situations, there will be some cyclicality prevailing. Now, what I can tell you is that whenever you've looked at our lines, whenever they have given announced lines, when they have come up, you've seen probably the cycle to be on a high, right? I think the ability that we've now developed is to be able to time this well, right? Even the BOPP expansions that we are doing, we believe we will probably be hitting a positive BOPP cycle going forward. I don't believe that it is as much as the chemical business in terms of, let's say, the margin profiling. There will be positives, but there will also be negatives, let's say, that will come through. What I can tell you is that when I look at the packaging films business, we have done a lot of work on cost. We have done a lot of work on products. We've done a lot of work with our customers. Our mantra in the business is to be easy to do business with the customers. We offered sales models to customers which are very innovative in nature. I do believe that our ability to continue the journey in the packaging film business at a pace which is better than my peers will always be there. But will it be cycle proof? I can't say that.
Okay, but sir, at least the metallized product what we have added in Hungary
metallized
and now
is pretty much normal here. No. So today metallized is pretty much normal. It's just the metallizer that you add. It is not just so. When I say innovative product, it is not just metallized. Metallized is pretty much become standard.
Okay. But do you have this hygiene product also, sir? The BOPP, the medical application based product line. Do you have that?
We don't. That's a non-woven. The medical application.
Yeah, non-woven.
Exactly. Non-woven. I don't have that. Yeah. I don't have that. We do films.
Okay. And second question, sir, on the capex getting intensified, what you have commented in the earlier comment. See, having seen something like around 1,600-1,700 crore kind of a capex in the FY20, and obviously because of the COVID, possibly this year number will look lower. But you are talking about intensifying, which base number that we should consider? It is the previous year's 1,600-1,700 crore kind of capex level, or it is the current year's less than 1,000 crore number? And ultimately, what's the indication that you're trying to provide on the in terms of capex?
So overall, for the next 2 to 3 years, I think 1,500 to 1,800 crores is the capex number that we should look at, given the fact that we've also done the capital raise. I think it will come through two things. One, which is obviously the capital raise that has been done, but also because of the fact that there are very strong cash flows that we are now generating. And therefore, the ability to keep investing back into the business is very high.
Okay. But in terms of opportunity, sir, it is equally good in both for chemical as well as for the packaging film, the way the kind of confidence what we are showing in building up additional packaging film lines, and also in the chemicals, whether that confidence will prevail even 1 year down the line or 2 years down the line when we would be doing something at 2,000 crore kind of capex there about.
So Surya, I have also always said this, that in the packaging film business, our capex will remain opportunistic. Wherever we see the opportunity to invest, where it is, let's say, closer to the customer, being able to supply the right kind of product, be able to diversify our product profile, we will certainly keep doing that capex. We have never said that the capex in the packaging film business will stop. What we are only saying is that we are now seeing the intensity in the specialty chemical business, which has been strong, to be even stronger for the future. And therefore, you will probably see more capex announcements coming through for the specialty chemical business over the next, let's say, H2 for this current financial year.
Sure, sir. Yeah. Thank you, sir.
I hope that explains it.
Yeah, definitely.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sanjesh Jain from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Thanks, Rahulji, and good afternoon. Thank you, sir. A couple of questions. First, on the capex, partly you did answer that we would see a higher announcement of specialty capex in the second half. Because still now, whatever we announced, the pending capex on specialty is close to around 2 billion rupees. And we said that the 7.5 billion rupees of CapEx, the fundraising we have done will be deployed in the specialty chemical over next 12 to 18 months. That means at least 500 crores or 5 billion rupees of incremental CapEx announcement we can expect in the second half. Would it be fair assumption?
Sanjesh, again, don't put words in my mouth. That is something that we have said and we will do. Whether I will do 500 or 250 this time, or projects that come up in the next quarter, which will be incurred over a period of 12 to 18 months, I can't give that detail to you today. But more or less, what you are saying is fair assumption, because if I have said that as an intent statement, it will happen.
Fair, sir. Thank you. That's helpful. Second question, more or slightly on technical side, this 467A which we have done. So that particular gas which goes into an AC, does the AC require any modification, or you can just replace R22 with R467A?
It's a drop-in, yes.
It's just a refilling from 467.
It's a drop-in substitute to 22 in certain cases.
In certain cases, that's condition
one. Equipment upper will depend. It depends on the equipment in certain cases, is what I'm saying. Largely, it's a drop-in.
So the 25% cut which we have seen this year for R22, assuming the demand remains the same, so there could be a significant bump up for 467A from that side. That's the opportunity. Are we targeting 467?
In a 2 to 3 year time frame, maybe, Sanjesh, because as of now, if I start selling more of 467A, it will cannibalize 22.
Okay. But
it will be an opportunity over a 2 to 3 year period in the domestic replacement market.
Got it. Just two more sub-questions.
Most of the OEM manufacturers have moved either to 32 or beyond.
Okay. So are we pushing this for? So that was my follow-up question. Are we pushing this gas for with the OEM, and what is the pricing difference of 467 versus 22 and say blend?
I can't give you that. I don't have that data available with me. I can't share that with you.
Got it, sir. Just one bookkeeping question last. What is our net debt at the end of 2Q?
At the end of 2Q?
Yeah, so...
Just hold on, I'll tell you. But it is available, yeah. It's the balance sheet is out.
But usme wo current maturity wala portion nahi milta.
The current maturity wala nahi milta. Net debt, 1 second. As of September, 3500 cash was roughly net of cash and investments.
Got it.
3550.
Oh, because it was 38 something in the March. We said it's around 400 crores of lower.
3730 cash was 3540 cash was over.
Got it. Thank you, sir, and best wishes for the coming quarter.
Thank you, Sandeep.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rohan Gupta from Edelweiss. Please go ahead.
Rahul sir, hi, good evening and congratulations on such a solid set of numbers.
Thank you, Rohan. Good evening to you.
Thanks, sir. Sir, a couple of questions. First is on CapEx. So I'm not definitely looking for the quarterly CapEx or the second half. I'm looking over next 3 years, as you mentioned, roughly 1500 to 1800 crore rupees CapEx annually over next 2 to 3 years. It means we are talking about almost 4,500 to 5,000 crore rupees to be deployed in the business. And I primarily assume it is going to be only in two segments, packaging and chemical, given that hardly any appetite in technical textiles. Sir, if you just look at historically last 3 years, so in that last 3 years time frame, and more investment has gone in packaging film business, where from almost 1,300 crore rupees capital employed, now we have 4,000. While chemical has increased only from 2,400 to 5,000. It is just doubled, while packaging has tripled. Sir, if you can just give some clarity that over next 3 years with the 4,500 to 5,000 crore rupees can this CapEx deployment, where the higher share will be, and initially you used to share almost 3 years back that a 60-40 kind of ratio will be in chemical and packaging. That I think that has not panned out, because maybe that we have seen higher opportunities in packaging. So, sir, do we have any visibility right now that out of this 5,000, that how the split will be between these two segments over next 3 years?
No, the more lumba question is there. So, I'll try and answer your question. What you are saying is, what is the mix of capex that is likely to go into the My answer to that is roughly about 50-60% is what we believe goes into the specialty chemicals and the chemicals business overall over the next 3 to 5 years. And whatever be that number is something that becomes irrelevant. So 50-60% we see going into the chemicals business. Almost about 20-30% goes into the packaging film business. And the balance is probably more maintenance and capex that we will keep doing in our technical textiles, packaging and chemicals business to be able to keep our plants running well. So that's how I see that panning out.
Okay. Sir, second is a further extension on capex only. So you mentioned that right now we have close to 10,000 crore rupees invested across the businesses, which is increasing by 50% over next 3 years. For this, you mentioned that you don't probably need more land and a lot of investment in infrastructure has already gone. So probably the as far as the profitability is concerned of this 5,000 crore, this, the incremental investment will fetch better returns because it is going to drive the operating leverage. Or you see that it will be equally panned out in infrastructure growth and also return ratios may not change significantly what we have right now.
So Rohan, for the next 2 years, I don't think there is a need for infrastructure in terms of, let's say, the power, because you know the power in capex we are putting up. So next 3 to 5 years, I don't see a lot of infrastructure expense happening. But when we, let's say, look to develop the last 100 acres of land, at that point in time, there may be a need for some infrastructure expense also. Again, we've tried to keep it as modular as possible. But in certain cases, you have to invest upfront to be able to get benefit of that in the future. I hope that explains.
But one thing is very certain that the incremental money or incremental capex which we are going to put probably will benefit from the operating leverage, right?
See, at the end of the day, Rohan, the intent is to keep capexes doing capexes other than pure infrastructure, which will give you a certain return, right? Even when you are looking to do a capex on, let's say, putting up a boiler, putting up a 20 megawatt power plant, right? At the end of the day, you will try to see whether buying the electricity from the grid or getting it cheaper when you are doing the infrastructure capex, it makes more sense, right? So even I would say that when you are doing, let's say, a power capex, you are even then looking at a return on investment on the power capex also. Because over a period of time, you will generate a better position if you were buying it from the grid because that's more expensive.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. Thanks,
Rohan. That explains it, Rohan.
Yeah, that explains it. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Shaleen Kumar from UBS. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, sir. Congratulations. Very good number. Great.
Thank you, Shaleen.
So, sir, sorry to hopping on the same thing. Just trying to simply understand upside in refrigerant side. So, in terms of the revenue, you know, if everything remains same, you know, how much can we how much revenue can we drive from the current capacity? Like in FY20, it was around 900 crores all put together. So can we say it can go 1500 or whatever, any number that you can give? No timeline.
Shaleen, my sense is that the overall capacity for refrigerants and HFCs is what I'm talking about today, is in the range of, so let's say in the next 3 years, if I get to a 2600 crore number, I think that is pretty much doable.
Okay, and what level of any additional capex you need for that?
Thoda bahut rahega, 200-500 crore, theek hai. But I am saying, given where I am currently, and some modular capex, 2500 should be pretty much doable here.
Okay. Is it right to assume that, for example, in this calendar year, we would have missed out both on export as well as domestic because obviously COVID thing. So probably
export ka season abhi aayega, but I can also tell you. No, but I can tell you, Rohan, Shaleen, that the demand today because of the prices is so low that it is becoming difficult. While the numbers will be much better than H1 for sure, the export overall is, let's say, slightly lower than what we have done previously.
Okay.
In terms of overall quantities and value, some because of value erosion because of the low prices, and some because of slightly lower demand and slightly higher, let's say, stocking by some of these majors.
Understood. Okay. All right. And again, on a packaging film, we had some industry level issues in the BOPP segment. Where are we? Any ball sense, like behind margins on upward trajectory or feeble? Just any sense on that?
I didn't understand your question, Shaleen.
So in both the segment BOPT and BOPP, right? Uh-huh. Where are we on the margin front, right? Margin cycle. If we're talking about cycle, let's say, right? So obviously, we are not in a down cycle, right? But both of them are moving in a different direction at one point of time, right? So where are we in case you can provide any?
So let's say BOPP is becoming better, BOPET is becoming worse. Is that what you are looking to?
Yeah. But where, like, how much move can they be? Like, they're just starting or they are in between?
Can't quantify it, Shaleen. Not possible. But that's the generic trend.
Right. All right. Okay, that's it from my side. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Shaleen.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Dhruv Muchal from HDFC Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Thank you so much. So in the previous question, you mentioned 2,500 crores revenue. So that is the fluoro specialty or fluorochemicals?
I was saying in a 3 to 5 year tenor for fluorochemicals.
Okay. So this includes the industrial solvent and everything? Just the refrigeration?
No, I said everything on the fluorochemicals business.
Okay. Nice, sir. And sir, secondly, you mentioned the growth will be higher than 25% that you had guided earlier. So any revised guidance that you can provide?
Earlier I had said 20 to 25%. Now what I am saying for specialty chemicals is north of 25%, given what we have done in H1.
Okay. And sir, any change to the 2-3 year guidance you earlier were mentioning about 15-20%?
why to rake up expectations right now?
So the other question was, so we are growing quite significantly, probably significantly faster in the specialty chems business. So, but the capacity announcements, at least in the last 2 years, have not been much. So I was just wondering, will we, hit up probably a sticky situation at some point for a year or two before we probably start growing again? Would that be possible?
This is something that many people have asked me, Dhruv. The fact of the matter is, if we are doing capex, investors are telling us you are not getting a commensurate return, why are you doing capex? And if we don't do capex, this question comes. So you will see more announcements on capex in the specialty chemicals business going forward. There are a lot of things that are in the works. They will come through over a period of time.
Okay. This is this last one, if I can squeeze. Now, for example, some of your products will be getting more larger in terms of scale. And probably currently you will be doing those projects in multi-stage projects or multi-capacity projects. If you shift them to dedicated projects, can there be a possibility that this improves your margin significantly, or probably 200, 300 bits also is a significant number? So is that a possibility? So as the products get scale, you move them to dedicated plants and, gain on margins?
See, what also happens, Dhruv, is that you will always find that when projects move to dedicated, their, cost of manufacture or the variable cost comes down because your batch testing times and your continuous process will always be more effective and more efficient. The point is that when you are doing larger quantities, your customers also negotiate appropriately. So while the operating leverage does play out to a bit and your let's say asset utilizations become much better in a dedicated plant, the kicker could be, let's say, 200 to 300 basis points in some cases lower. But I don't see that as a big negative in that sense.
I was wondering from a positive perspective, can that be a positive delta?
There could be, but again, in many situations, what we've also seen, it is probably similar as well. Doesn't change a bit too much.
Got it. Sure, sir. Thanks a lot. Thanks for the chance.
Thank you.
Thank you. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Rahul Jain for closing comments.
Yeah, I hope we've been able to answer some of your questions, if not all. If you do have further questions, we would be happy to be of assistance. We hope to have your valuable support on a continued basis as we move ahead. On behalf of the management, I once again thank you for taking the time to join us on this call. Thanks very much. Bye-bye.
Thank you. On behalf of Ambit Capital, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.